Welcome, everybody, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Very excited for this edition with one guest, one interview, and he's a guy most of you out there love, Gus Johnson, the lead play-by-play man for Fox College Football and College Basketball. Really enjoy talking to Gus. He gets into why he has not tweeted since 2012, talks about how he started in sports broadcasting. We go over his time with calling the NCAA tournament, his favorite calls, talked a little bit about Bill Raftery, and talked about football, college football, NFL, calling those games. And the end is really the last 10-15 minutes of the interview. You want to stick with it because he goes through his most embarrassing on-air moment and talks about not really being thrilled with the Gusgasm hashtag that goes out on Twitter. So that in the last 15 minutes, Gus, there's a lot of laughs here with Gus. So stick with it. It's a good interview. Gus was great. I appreciate you guys listening. Couple of things in the archives you should check out. Joe Thomas, former Cleveland Browns offensive lineman. Good interview last week. And given the Browns here turning it around, he had a lot of thoughts about Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor. That episode is combined with an interview with Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network. If you like football in any way, shape, or form, listen to the Kyle Brandt interview. He's going to host a new show on the NFL Network that's going to be sort of a retro thing while still doing a little bit on the current games. If you like football, listen to that Kyle Brandt interview. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. And if you listen to the whole thing, I give him a line at the end. Tweet me the line if you hear it at the end there, and maybe I'll send you a little prize there. But when I say goodbye to Kyle, I tell him something. And if you tweet me what I tell him, I'll send you a little prize. And 2 weeks ago was Ryan Russillo. That was a good interview as well in the archive. So please check those out. And if you have not rated or left a review on iTunes, it would be so helpful if you did that. It helps tremendously. I know most of you probably already subscribe, but subscribing is great. I appreciate it. If you don't subscribe, please subscribe. But if you have, but the review and the rating is huge, so I would appreciate it greatly. And you can even wait till this interview is over, because that's how much I think you're going to enjoy it. And we're going to go right to it. Gus Johnson of Fox Sports. All right, joining me now is my guest on this week's SI Media Podcast. He is Fox lead college football and college basketball play-by-play man, and an internet favorite. Not many of those around, but he is, and he is Gus Johnson. Gus, how are you?
What's up, man? I'm good. How you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for coming on. I'm going to start with something weird, just because I did say you're an internet favorite, and you are. I noticed you have not tweeted since June of 2012. Why did you give up Twitter?
Ah, man, I got my focus when I'm not working is to be able to hit a 5-iron 185 yards on a spot. You know, I just don't have the time,
right,
to get all into that world. That's like that seems like it could be a black hole if you're not careful. So, I don't know, man. I'm 51 years old. I think tweeting and all that social media stuff is for young cats, man. So I'm gonna stay out of that, out of their way, and let them do their thing and keep it moving.
I will say I think it's smart if any play-by-play person is off Twitter, but that's just from what I've seen on Twitter. No, that's tough if you're a play-by-play man or woman and you're on Twitter, because the feedback is
is rough. Yeah. You know, it's one thing, you know, when you're a public figure, you deal with a lot of criticism, and I understand that's part of the deal, but dealing with criticism that's in my pocket on my phone, which I keep with me 24 hours a day, pretty much, except when I'm sleeping. So
right.
That's a little too much. That was a little bit too much access for me.
But I have to say, as far as play-by-play people are concerned, you probably get as little criticism as, I mean, there are people out there who may think, oh, he's too loud or over the top or whatever, but the majority, I mean, the overwhelmingly vast majority are huge fans. Do you sense that when you're calling a game and you're in a stadium or you're even just walking around the street? I mean, you are pretty beloved.
Yeah, but I try to be totally ignorant.
Yeah.
I don't want to know anything, you know, because what I realized when I was on Twitter and I was I would get some feedback about certain things, it started affecting how I looked at the game, which affected how I called the game.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be a part of that. And, you know, people tell me that I'm a fan favorite, and that's cool. I definitely prefer that than the other thing, the other option,
right.
You know. But I don't want to know about that. I want to be ignorant. I want to, you know, there's enough things that we have to think about in this world, is, you know, whether it be on our jobs or with our families and our children and our wives and our husbands. And so, you know, I got enough to think about, man. So yeah. I just want to go out there and have fun, do my job to the best of my ability, and keep it moving.
So you are one of the more excitable and enthusiastic play-by-play people out there. What is your philosophy when you're doing a game, and has it changed? I mean, have you always, I mean, listen, I remember you going back, I mean, I'm a New Yorker, I remember you doing the Knicks ages ago. That was probably my first exposure to you, and then obviously the tournament, and now college football. You've had many gigs over the years. Do you call a game the same way now that you did then? Has anything changed for you? And what's sort of the overall Gus Johnson, this is what I want to accomplish when I'm calling a game?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, since 1989. I've been doing it at a network level. Let me see. I got out of college in 90. Got my first job in Waco in 90, then went to Huntsville, then to Greensboro, then to D.C.
What was your first job? What was your first job?
Waco, Texas.
Doing what?
KXXV-TV in Waco, Texas. I was a weekend anchor man and a weekday sports reporter.
Okay.
Sports reporter, weekend anchor, sports anchor, and weekday sports reporter. So it was a great time. But I've been doing this for a long time, so you grow and you mature, you evolve. I'm a different person now than I was when I first started, but, you know, I'm more confident, I'm older, I have more experience. So I think my overall philosophy is to delight in the excellence of these, you know, athletes that I'm watching in that particular game, in those particular moments. I'm not 60 minutes. I'm not here to do some kind of investigative report. I want to have fun with the game. I'm doing a lot of college ball. So these are kids that are trying hard and doing good, trying to do good in school and trying to do good on the football or the basketball team. So, like I said, my goal is to delight in the excellence of other people. That makes me feel good. And that's how I like to approach it when I'm doing a game.
So what was the first big break for you? You know, Waco, Texas is nice, but there had to be something on a national scale or even big on a local scale. What was the first big break for you?
No, actually, man, the first big break was Waco, Texas.
Well, yeah.
Hardest job you ever get is your first. I was right out of college. You know, I was green. You know, I didn't really, I wasn't a great editor. I wasn't a great shooter. So when you go to small markets, you got to shoot, you got to edit your own stuff. So Don Marion, my news director at KXXV TV, gave me my first shot, and he allowed me to learn how to become a better shooter, a better editor, a better, you know, producer of my own shows as time went on. And I think that was the biggest break that I ever got. And then the second biggest break, I think, was going to D.C. and major market, the same station that I had interned at, and then from there going to Madison Square Garden Network, and that changed the game. That changed everything, going right to New York and working with the Knicks and the Yankees and the Rangers, doing those shows, Yankee Post Game, Yankee Scorecard, Knicks Game Night, and stuff like that. I mean, I worked with some of the most talented sportscasters in the history of America. You know, Marv Albert being at the top of the list, Sam Rosen being at the top of the list, John Davidson was there, John Andres, just so many great, Mike Crispino, Mike Green, Bruce Beck, Michael Kay, all those guys were there when I was there.
Yeah.
So, and having a chance to work with those guys, Bob Page, you probably don't remember that.
I certainly do remember Bob Page. He was
Bob Page, he would torch
people left and right. Yeah, I remember him. Sure,
he was brilliant. Yeah. He is brilliant, you know. So, to me, and then you meet other people. I met all the writers, Harvey and Bill Roden and Frank Isola and Mark Berman and all these terrific minds for sports. So that was my period of, I believe, going to Madison Square Garden and working in New York City. It was my period of enlightenment, man. My whole mindset changed. And, you know, I'm really thankful to Mike McCarthy, who was our executive there at Madison Square Garden at the time, for giving me that job, man. It changed my life.
I'm a diehard Yankee fan, and I used to be a big-time Knicks fan, so I remember the MSG network well. It used to be a hell of a network. They would do so much with post-game, and then the Yankees obviously left for Yes, and things changed a little bit, and the Knicks, you know, went in the tank. But that old-school MSG network was something else. So a ton of talent there. Ton of talent, like you said.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, man. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. It was just, to me, I mean, and that's when the Knicks were playing good. Ewing was there, and Oakley was there, and you know, they were battling Michael Jordan. I called the game for the Knicks. Two games stick out in my mind. The one when Michael Jordan came back from baseball to the Garden, had 55.
Double nickel, yep.
A double nickel in those old Jordans that he wore. And two, the Knicks in Miami playing and Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson getting into a brawl at the Garden. Jeff Van Gundy jumping on the court and hanging on Alonzo's ankle. I'd be tossed around like a rag doll. I'll never forget that.
A lot of people throw out the good old days, but when it comes to the Knicks, those were the good old days. There's no two ways about it.
Those are the good old days, yeah. Right. There's no two ways. I mean, you know, we weren't old enough to experience the good old days with Walt.
Right, right, right.
Frazier and Willis Reed and, you know, Bill Bradley and all those guys. But for us, those were the good old days, even though they never won a championship.
I've always said, we're getting off the beaten path here from media, but I don't care. I've always said this. Patrick Ewing, in my opinion, is the single most underappreciated athlete in New York sports history. I believe that.
Well, he didn't win.
Well, right, but here's my thing about Ewing.
He didn't
there
win.
Was never.
No. He's supposed to win.
Wait.
He's supposed to win.
Can I get my point out? Let me just say.
He's not supposed to let Josh Starks in Game 7 shoot 2-for-18.
Right, but he's supposed to
go over there and take the ball away from him, or tell the coach to put him on the bench.
Yeah, you're not telling Pat Riley to put someone on the bench. Pat's not listening to that. Not listening to the plays. Well, here's what I would say about Ewing. Never, ever, one game that he didn't give 100% effort, and in the NBA, that's tough. And two, he never played with anyone around. I mean, John Starks was a nice player. John Starks was bagging groceries, and he was the second best player that Ewing ever played with. You want to say Charles Oakley? Okay, fine, but he was a rebound guy, defense. The Knicks never had a second scoring option throughout Ewing's entire career.
He didn't win.
Wow, you're harsh, so, Gus. You're harsh.
No, I love Patrick. Patrick gave me some of the biggest breaks of all time, but I won't say that he was underappreciated. That's what you said. I don't agree with that.
I think
he was very much appreciated. I think that the fans of New York wanted a championship. And I know he came along during a hard era,
right,
when Jordan was there, but, you know, Houston, Game 7, 2-18.
Yeah,
somebody's got to say something.
But I can't, there's no shame, and I can't fault him for losing to Hakeem Olajuwon.
But you said underappreciated. I'm going back to what you said. I don't agree with that.
All
he
right.
was very much appreciated. I covered him. He was, when Patrick Ewing walked in the building, it was like, you know, get out of the way. You know, everybody appreciated Pat. You know, he, especially within the Knicks organization, he was treated like royalty.
I don't like knocking the guy because he didn't win a title when he had no help around him, and played against all the, you know, Jordan, Pippen, Olajuwon, Duncan, Robinson. But
yeah, he did a great job. I do not feel he was underappreciated.
All right, I don't want to have you on and fight with you. Now I feel bad. All right,
that's okay. I like the debate.
Yeah,
I like the debate.
I think we both agree though. Patrick was something special here in New York. There's no doubt about
that.
Yeah,
he was, man. He was something.
So,
that guy.
You did the Knicks, and then first national gig, I assume, was CBS, where you did the tour. Go ahead.
That was the first. I worked for ESPN. I did some Canadian football and some college basketball, which, you know, I consider national.
Right, so right. How long?
Big national thing was big national thing was CBS Sports.
How long were you at ESPN?
I did 2 Grey Cup finals.
Uh-huh.
About 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. And then...
About 3 years, yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then you go to CBS, and the tournament basically becomes about Gus Johnson in a way. And you did the NFL, but the tournament and Gus Johnson were a special thing, to the point where, now that you're not really paying attention to Twitter, I don't know if you realize this, I mean, every March people are still like, we wish Gus was covering the tournament. What was so special about the tournament for you?
Okay, they're kids, man.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, what I realize about my job is not only in the, not only for the game on that day is it important for people that are watching, but from an overall perspective, I mean, these are historical pieces. You know, these games will be played forever. And I think I kind of had an idea of that when I was even first starting. If it weren't for the kids, it was for me, my family, and my family could go back and say, well, you know, my great-great-granddad, Gus, did the NCAA tournament. You can go and look at him do this game back in 1996. It's Princeton, UCLA, and Princeton beats him on the backdoor cut. And Pete Carril tears his hair out, you know, on the sideline. To me, every game I call is a historical piece. It'll be here, I guess, until the end of us. But when the NCAA tournament came around, you know, I there was just such a innocence about it, you know, about the players on the floor. These are kids. 18 to 22, pretty much. And for most of them, this is the biggest moment of their life. So, and it might be, aside from the birth of their children or getting married or something like that, you know, pretty much the biggest accomplishment of their life, because, you know, not many of them move on to play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, having an opportunity to be a part of that, It just opened up some kind of chakra in my heart. Like I would always say a prayer, and I always say the same prayer for every game. Lord, let me be the conduit between you and the message you want to get out to your masses. So when I would watch those games, those NCAA tournament games, and be a part of those games, it's just my heart opened up for those kids, and I don't know. Sometimes strange stuff came out, strange sounds.
And that's what, and you know, that's, crazy. But that, I think, you know, that's what made you such a hit. I mean, those calls every March, you know, people like me who write daily columns for SI.com, bloggers, writers. I mean, we love to trot out those YouTube videos, whether it's, you know, I'm not going to do the Gus Johnson imitation because that would be insulting both of us. But, you know, the Adam Morrison Gonzaga one is a famous one. The, you know, Lexington CBS March Madness is that's probably my favorite.
Do you
have a favorite? Do you have a favorite call from your tournament days?
You know, man, I'm 51 years old now. And when I look back at the NCAA tournament, it was like an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
There were so many great moments. It's hard to say one. I mean, like I said, 96, Indianapolis, RCA Dome, Princeton beats UCLA on the backdoor cut. Boom. Incredible. Sorrentine from the parking lot, Vermont beats Syracuse. You know, the slipper still fits. Gonzaga beating Florida, Casey Calvary with the tip in. You know, then there's the UCLA coming back to beat Gonzaga after being down by 17. And, you know, Adam Morrison, who was probably the best player in the country that year, just breaks down. I mean, that's it. To me, that's what it was about. I mean, the emotion, the passion, the commitment, the innocence of the best player in the country losing a game and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because it was over, and now you had to go do business and be a pro, you know. So, I mean, there were so many great games, man.
Do you
I look back on it.
Do you ever plan a call or think ahead on a call, or is it 100% spontaneous?
No, it's not planned, but it's not spontaneous. When I see things, right, I see things, and I make a mental note of it. You know, I could give you an example, right?
Yeah, but please.
I can't use this one because I haven't used it yet.
Okay.
But I got an interesting thing I want to do in Wisconsin.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just got to, you know, it's just I think about stuff, and when I think about stuff, I just make a mental note of it, and when that moment happens, sometimes it'll trigger something. It'll trigger that mental note that I took, and I just say it because I try to stay connected to the game mm-hmm. and to the players.
So last week, for example, you're calling Oklahoma and UCLA, and Marquise Brown, nicknamed Hollywood for Oklahoma, scores a touchdown, and you break out a phenomenal call as he's running towards the end zone. In the vintage Gus excitable voice, you say, you know, there goes Hollywood, lights, camera, action.
Third down and 14 to the 42. Kyler Murray delivers, and it's caught. Hollywood! Lights, camera, action, Hollywood Brown! 58 yards. Game changer.
That's 100% thought of there, or is that something over the week, you know, before the game, that's you thinking about that expression? How does a call like that come about?
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. You know, Hollywood, you connect the dots. Hollywood, he's from Hollywood, Florida, yeah. Not Hollywood, California, but Hollywood, California is known for lights, camera, action. It's Hollywood, it's stars. What I like to do is I like to build stars in the game. I like to call the game where people, and I let the people know who the stars are yeah. so they can pay attention. Hollywood Brown is a star. CeeDee Lamb is a star. Kyler Murray is a star. Rodney Anderson, Mr. Anderson, before he got hurt last week, is a star, you know. So I love to be able to, what they say, you know, attach yourself to a star and go along for the ride. So that's kind of my philosophy. Right. And I kind of like to play with words, and that's my opportunity to play with words and to establish stars while I'm on my job.
And tell me about, like I mentioned it before, is my favorite call, a lot of people's favorite call, the one we're going overtime in Lexington. This is CBS Sports March Madness, and then you let out a cackle. Almost like an evil cackle, but it wasn't evil. It was obviously an excitable one. I mean, was that a natural reaction, just spontaneous right there with the laugh, the menacing laugh on that great call?
I don't even remember doing that, to be honest with you.
Really?
Don't tell anybody this. This is a secret.
All right, let it go.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for the secret.
Being a sportscaster is the greatest. No, being a play-by-play sportscaster,
right,
is the greatest job in the history of planet Earth.
I could see
There's
that.
Nothing better.
I could see that.
There's no better job. Yeah. There's no better job. I thought about it. You know, I've thought about it. I can't. You know, I say the only better job would be being a player.
Right.
All right, but you can't play forever. But you can be a sport. Vin Scully did it for a long time.
It is amazing. I talked about this on this podcast before. It is amazing how long the good lead play-by-play people last. You mentioned yourself. You started out in 89. Here you are now 30 years later. You're still lead play-by-play guy for Fox College Football, College Baseball. Marv doing it forever. Al Michaels doing it forever. People don't realize because he's a little bit on the younger side. Joe Buck has been doing this forever now. I mean, it's amazing how if you're a good, you know, play-by-play person, you last a very long time, it seems like.
Yeah, because, you know, I talk trash to the studio guys all the time.
Mm-hmm.
you know, because you know they get all the lights and the pretty cameras and the great wardrobe and all that stuff. And I always give them a hard time. I'm like, look, man, you guys remember this. Nobody's gonna remember anything you say when you go off the air, but they're gonna. But this game that we're getting ready to do is gonna be in the archive for eternity.
Yeah.
So I just think that being a play-by-play announcer is the greatest job in the history of mankind. And I just enjoy, you know, being a part of this. Whether it's a thrilling double overtime matchup or it's I had a 42-0 first half 2 weeks ago, Oklahoma and Florida Atlantic. And to me, they're both fun to do. Because you're talking about these kids or you're talking about these great players, if it's at the pro level. Like what I saw with Aaron Rodgers the other day, mm-hmm. that was incredible.
Yeah,
I'm sitting here watching that game. They're down 20-0. He gets carted off in the first half. He comes back in the second half, and it was magic. In Green Bay, 100th anniversary, opening night at Lambeau Field. He goes down, comes back with a bum knee. Khalil Mack is sitting there, who had the greatest first half you can ever have. And he leads them down the field time and time again and wins it on a big throw and a big catch. People went crazy. It's just there's an energy to that. There's a energy that's in those buildings, whether it be arenas or stadiums, that when things are going great, it's unexplainable. To me, and to be a part of that is a blessing, man. I mean, this is not a right. This is a great opportunity.
And that passion obviously comes through on the broadcast. I don't think anyone would deny that. Do you? I hate to go negative, but I always ask play by play people this. I mean.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, there are people who might say Gus is too over the top, Gus is too loud. But what do you say to those critics?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, critics are part of the deal. You know, my father told me years ago, he said, man, everybody ain't going to love you now.
Right.
So that's part of it. But I hope that if anything, even my critics see that my commitment to it and how it's genuine. It's really how I feel when I'm at work. And, but you know, criticism is part of it. You got to be able to take the bitter with the sweet.
Yeah. I don't get the, you know, too over the top. I mean, it's sports. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertaining. You know, you don't want someone in there who's comatose. You know, it's always
some people like different, you know, it's subjective people. Yeah. It's a matter of taste.
Yeah.
Some people don't like it. Some people don't like my style, and I understand it. You know, some people don't like other people's styles.
Right.
You know, that's part of it. I mean, you're not going to be liked by 100% of the masses. It's not practical.
Yeah. Do you have a preference, football or basketball, on doing the games?
No. I like them both. It's like I got two different girlfriends that I spend time with. You know, I spend time with my football girlfriend during the fall, and we'll have our run. And then when that's over, then I go hang out with the basketball chick, and we have a good time. And so, to me, it's all gravy, man. It's all a great opportunity. It's all fun, and it's all what I do.
This is an unfair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and maybe I'll get an answer out of you. Who has been your favorite analyst to work with, basketball or football?
See, you know, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, I know.
Because I've also done boxing. But let me tell you, because I knew you were going to ask that question today, so I wrote some things down. How about this? Basketball, I've worked with Dan Bonner, Jimmy Jackson, Billy Packer, Bill Raftery, Len Elmore, Quinn Buckner, Clark Kellogg, Greg Anthony, John Sunvold, Marcus Johnson, Walt Frazier, John Andres, Trent Tucker, Reggie Miller, and John McLaughlin.
Okay.
Those are the guys that I can remember off the top
okay,
of my head.
Okay, so just
boxing.
Okay.
Hold on, let me finish.
Okay.
Boxing. Gil Clancy, Dave Bontempo, Al Bernstein, Antonio Tarver, Paulie Malignaggi, Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman, Frank Shamrock, Pat Miletich. That was the MMA day. All right, football. Charles Davis, Joel Klatt, Desmond Howard, Terry Donahue, Steve Tasker, Brent Jones, Mike Mayock, Ron Jaworski, Ike Hilliard, Cliff Stout, Dick McPherson. So those are just to name some of the guys that I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
And out of all the guys I just named, all of them are great guys. Not one of them is a bad guy.
Oh, I'm sure that's the case. But if I will say this. Yeah, it, doesn't the answer have to be Bill Raftery?
No.
No?
I love working with Raf.
Oh, I'm
but
sure.
But not, I mean, I can't necessarily say my favorite.
Right.
I had a good run basketball-wise with Lynn Elmore.
Right.
When I was at CBS and we were doing the tournament. Had a good basketball professional run most recently with Marcus Johnson when I did the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Raf, I've been working with him for over 20 years, and he is definitely in the top two or three.
I just can't
put a button on one guy.
I just figured it would be Raftery just for the after hours stories.
Oh, I can't hang with him anymore.
You can't hang with Raft, huh?
I can't hang with Raft in the after hours, man. Raft is a totally different animal. And the thing about it is he can, you know, go hard at night and be as fresh as a daisy in the morning. I don't have that same.
Here's the question. Can anybody hang with Raftery? That's the question.
No, I don't think so. I don't know very many people that can hang with Raft. Not when it comes to having a good time.
That's great. With doing the college football on Fox, you have USC Texas this Saturday at 8 o'clock on Fox. Give me one. If I put you in charge of college football, I made Gus Johnson commissioner of college football for one day. Give me one thing you'd change about the sport.
No double numbers.
No double numbers.
No double numbers. Nope. One, two. You wouldn't stop the clock after a first down.
All right, that's a great one. I like that.
Games are getting way too long.
Yeah.
You know. You see, no double numbers.
Well, what do you mean by no double numbers?
Well, you know, sometimes in college football,
I see what you mean. Okay, I'm an idiot. I know what you mean. You don't want a guy wearing guys wearing the same number. I got it. Okay.
Two guys wearing number five.
Yeah,
I remember we did Michigan last year. They had three, I believe, number five.
That's an announcer answer right there.
Right, that's an announcer answer. But you asked me what I would do.
No, I got it. All right, no double numbers. That's a good one. I agree with that. I mean, you know, if you have to go into the hundreds.
And offensive and defensive linemen would have to wear defensive lineman numbers.
Right.
Linebackers would have to wear numbers in the 50s.
Right.
DBs wear numbers that DBs wear. You wouldn't have a defensive lineman wearing number two. That just gets you all screwed up.
It does.
Or a linebacker wearing number nine.
Yeah, yeah.
Where's the 53? I want 53, 54, 55. I don't know what positions those guys play when they make it.
Well, I want you to be commissioner because I love both those changes. Get the numbers straightened out, and the clock does not stop after a first down. I like both of those a lot.
Yeah, and other than that, I think it's pretty perfect.
Yeah. Do you have is there a stadium? Give me one each, basketball and football. A stadium you have not yet called a game in that you want to call a game in.
Oh, Alabama. Football.
Right. That's tough.
But to me, I want to go down there one day because we don't have the SEC.
Right, it's tough with CBS having it, yeah.
Yeah, but I think I'd like to call a game in Alabama. You know, that's the greatest coach in the history of college football, Nick Saban.
What did you think, though, of his little thing with Maria Taylor?
I don't know. I didn't see it. What happened?
Oh, that was – you didn't see that 2 weeks ago where he yelled at her when she asked him a question in the postgame show about his quarterbacks?
Ah, he yelled at everybody.
You really aren't on Twitter. Are you on the internet at all, or do you stay away from the internet altogether?
Yeah. I mean, I go on the internet to do some research. I just bought a computer. Bought one of those big, big Mac desktops.
Yeah,
so
those are nice.
I can go on the internet and – You know, but I don't really go on. I mean, you can do it on your phone if you want to. So, but I'm not on a computer very much. Like right. I say, man, I'm trying to hit this 5-iron, 185.
I have to say though, ever since you told me about 10 minutes ago that you don't remember your call of, and we're going to overtime in Lexington. This is March Madness. Ever since you told me you don't remember that call, I've been rattled because.
No, I don't know. I didn't say I didn't remember the call. Oh. I didn't remember the cackle. The cackle.
Oh, yes. At the end when you say, hey, this is CBS Sports. Ha ha. You did one of those.
I didn't really pay attention. You know, some of this stuff, man, is just stream of consciousness. You just say feel when you feel it, and you don't, you know, really remember it all.
Well, I was going to say, now that you got the computer, I would send you that clip because it's so good. It's so good. It's so good.
I know how to make stuff. I can go on it.
Yeah.
I know how to go on YouTube now.
There you go. Go on YouTube and look up your own call. Isn't that weird to do something like that? But you get that call is so good.
I think that's kind of weird. I think that's kind of, you know, that's why I don't like looking at that stuff. I don't.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, you know how it is. I'm sure now that you know, you're doing podcasts and stuff. It's hard to listen sometimes.
Oh, I never listen
like
to myself.
You sound or you make, hey, see, there you go. I never really listen.
Do you miss doing NFL games at all?
I do. Yeah. I do. Yeah. I really do. I noticed that when I was watching the games this weekend. I watched the Patriots and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so disappointed in my Lions. You know.
Matt Patricia, gosh. Not exactly.
Right. Yeah. I'm a Lions fan from birth. So. I watched a little bit of that game. I watched the Rams and Raiders last night. I thought that was good. And I watched the Green Bay and Chicago, which I thought was off the charts. So I do miss doing the NFL. Those are the greatest football players on the planet. And a lot of those kids that are playing in the NFL now, I had them as kids when they were in college. This is something about the NFL. It's the NFL. It's America. So... I do miss it, and, you know, hopefully one day I'll get back to that.
Well, see, you know, I didn't say I would bring this up. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it at all. But since you just said football is America, what do you make of what's going on in the NFL with the controversy surrounding the national anthem and players taking a knee?
What do I think? I think that...
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
They're great. Well, I know you don't mean to, but you are.
Well, you said football is America, and you know.
Yeah, I think that people should have no matter what profession you're in, you should have a right to protest. That's what the flag is about. That's what the soldiers fought for, in my opinion, for you to have the right to protest. So if that's how you feel, then I think you should be allowed to do that. And, that's how I see it.
I don't want to make light of that issue, and I don't want to come across as I'm making light of it because it is important. But do you ever say to yourself, you know, thank God this isn't going on in the college game? Because then you'd be forced to talk about it during games, whereas it hasn't happened in college, so you can sort of stay out of it just because it's a loaded topic, and it's also one that, you know, both sides feel passionately about. But it hasn't hit the college game yet. You happy about it? Are you?
No, I don't really. It doesn't really matter to me because if it happened in college, we'd address it and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching the game,
right?
You know, be honest with you, that's all I really care about is watching the game. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do, take political stances. They have a big stage on national television, and whatnot, and you know, that's what it is. What it is right now, but you know, if it was in college, we'd address it and then we keep it moving and get ready for the game. I love watching the game. And to me, that's what we're there for, you know?
What's the biggest challenge in doing a college football game for a play-by-play?
There's so many guys.
Yeah.
Like I said, the double numbers is hard.
Yeah.
Especially on special teams. Because you don't know if number five is the offensive guy or number five is the defensive guy.
Right.
So you got to have you're making a bang-bang choice. And hopefully, you know, you get it right. But sometimes because you really don't know, you kind of have to, on special teams, just lay out and just wait so maybe the camera will show the guy's last name on the back of his jersey. So to me, it's the double numbers. And, you know, it's college. They got big rosters, and especially in, you know, college schools. So sometimes you got guys coming in there that the coach doesn't even tell you is going to be playing on the roster. So, you know, you get caught in those kind of situations. I think that, to me, is probably the biggest challenge of it all.
And in terms of prep, like NFL compared to college football, I would feel, I could be totally wrong on this, but I feel like NFL, you sort of, I mean, you're going to do prep, but you know what's going on. College, I feel like, is a little tougher just because, you know, you might not be watching those teams every week in, week out. There's so many games. There's so many. Even though you're limited, you're doing the Pac-12 and Big 12. NFL is so finite. In terms of prep work, calling NFL to college, big differences? Same thing, really?
Yeah, a huge difference. I mean, the NFL, what is it, a 53-man roster?
Yeah.
Yeah, college, you know, you can have 53 guys on offense.
So that could be a problem.
Or damn near 53, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got, you know, 35 on defense. And then you got special teams guys. You got punters and kickers and guys that specialize in kicking off and long snappers, you know, that are too deep that might get into the game and return men that they may throw in there. So I think that it's a lot more players.
Right.
In college than in the pros, so that's what makes it a little bit more challenging.
Before I let you go, I appreciate the time. I know you got to run shortly. What has been your worst or most embarrassing gaffe on the air?
I wanted to forget about this, but I guess I can't. One day we were doing a game, me and Charles Davis. And they showed a picture of, you know, the movie The Anchorman.
Yes.
They showed a picture of Will Ferrell. And they had a cardboard cutout of Will Ferrell in the stands. And my director, Rich Dewey, showed it. And, you know, I don't know what was on my mind. And it was kind of a bang-bang situation. And I said, oh, yeah, and Ron Jeremy is in attendance. And then as soon as it came out of my mouth, Charles looked at me and it was like, I was like, oh, I said, oops. On the air, I heard myself saying, oops.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, Ron Burgundy. So to me, it was silly. But
oh, no, that is a phenomenal story. And I feel like I'm terrible at my job because I have no recollection of this. And in my world, that's gold.
Well, thank God you don't have any recollection.
I'm looking it up.
I wanted to forget about.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm looking it up here. It happened in 2014. 2014, it happened. And if you Google Gus Johnson, Ron Jeremy, there are plenty of things that come up. So.
Are you serious?
Oh, I'm serious. I just looked it up because I for some reason have no recollection of that. But yeah, it's all yeah. A little Google search shows a lot of Gus Johnson, Ron Jeremy links right there.
Yeah, well, I stuck my foot in my mouth there.
And if anyone's listening, just Google Gus Johnson, Ron Jeremy. Do not just Google Ron Jeremy because that'll bring up a whole other sort of stuff.
A lot of stuff comes up.
I appreciate it and. This was fun, and I hope you enjoyed it. And like, I'm a big fan, and I can't thank you over the years for all the material because you've provided plenty with your calls. And
well, man, Jimmy, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being a fan. I appreciate you having me on your show, man. Continue success.
All right, keep the good call. Do you know? Now you were on Twitter briefly. I know you're not only there. Do you know what it's called when you have one of your vintage screaming and yelling calls? Do you know what everyone on Twitter calls it?
Yeah, I've been told that a gusgasm or
yes,
something like that.
A gusgasm, yeah.
A gusgasm, yeah. You know what? Can somebody change that? I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Can it be just a little less explicit?
Let's see. What can we change it to? That's like a gus.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But you guys, I'm sure you'll figure it out. But, I mean, I just. Don't.
We will.
Come on, man. Give me a break.
I'll put out.
I got a 15-year-old, man. Come on, I don't want him here reading that kind of
thing. I'll put out the word that you want Gusgasm change, and we'll see what we could do on the internet.
Something a little cooler, just a little bit cooler, not so explicit. I would appreciate that.
All right. You got to take the good with the bad, you know.
That's not a diss, is it? Is that a diss?
No. I'm just saying, like, listen, when there's a crazy game, like, when there's a crazy game going on with a crazy finish, there'll be 100 tweets coming in. I wish Gus Johnson was calling this game. I wish Gus Johnson was calling this game. So you have that, and then you have something a little embarrassing with the Gusgasm. You know, it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed by that. I'm a man's man. You know, come on.
All right,
no, I talk great.
We'll see what we can do about that. I appreciate it. Good luck.
All right, man. Appreciate
again,
you.
Saturday, USC Texas, 8 o'clock on Fox. Gus every week on Fox, calling the lead college football game for that network.
And we're getting ready to have boxing on Fox. So.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to be sexy. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have some great fights.
If Fox was smart, they'd have you do some baseball. That's a sport that could use some energy.
No.
Have you ever done a baseball game?
Yeah, I did the Tigers 1 year.
How'd you like it?
30 games. I was awful.
Awful? Yeah.
Too technical. I was awful. It's too technical of a sport to be able to just drop in and do...
I could see a small
package of games. That's an everyday thing. You really got to understand it. And I played baseball in college, so I understand the sport, but it's just too technical. It's a storytelling sport, which I love, but you got to be there to be able to really. I have a lot of respect for baseball, is what I'm saying.
So it makes sense. It makes sense. Have you heard the story last week about the two Tigers announcers? Getting in the fight?
Yeah, I hope, and I hope that the Tigers understand that, you got two guys working together, 160 games a year for however many years they've been working together. And, in their defense, they're guys. And sometimes, sometimes guys fight. I mean, come on.
Stuff happens.
It's part of the world.
Stuff happens. Yeah.
I know they're supposed to be professional, and I know it's not supposed to happen, but come on, man, give those guys a break, man. 160-plus games a year for however many years they've been working, man. That's a lot of time spent.
The Tigers said they're not working another game the rest of the season. So.
Yeah, but that's okay, but I hope they bring them back because I actually, as a Detroit Tigers fan, I like listening to them. They're really good sound. So.
Have you ever come close to getting into a physical altercation with any of your analysts?
No, because I do football and basketball, and most of the football players will squash you. And the basketball players are like 6'8" to 7 feet. So they'll squash you, too. So I know how to mind my business, keep my mouth shut, and stay out of those guys' way because I'm not trying to get pummeled.
Very smart. Very smart. All right.
Yep.
Well, that was fun. I appreciate it. And
I appreciate you having
Have a great
me,
season. Thank
have
you.
A good day. Okay. All right. You got it.
All right. My thanks to Gus Johnson, fun interview, fun guy, and really like what he had to say there at the end. Does not like the Gusgasm. That's funny. All right. Hope you enjoyed Gus, and good time to go on YouTube and rewatch some of his calls. We'll see you next week right here on the SI Media Podcast. Take care.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one daily sports podcast network? Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.